Welcome to Fun with Scotch and Other Fine Spirits. This is episode 79. I'm John.
I'm Judy.
I'm Marlis.
And today we're going to be discussing three American single malt whiskeys. So what do we have first on our list?
Well, first on our list, we have a timeline of American whiskey history.
Okay.
If you're interested. If you're interested.
I'm interested.
Are you interested,
Marlis? Yes,
oh, all right. So
deeply.
American whiskey started in the 1600s and 1700s. Those Puritans, they were an amazing bunch, weren't they?
Yes, yes, yes.
So, but it said settlers from Scotland and Ireland brought distilling traditions to America, or to the American colonies. Mm-hmm. And, of course, rye whiskey was the first, you know, type of thing that was going on. Then corn whiskey. And they used whiskey to as a bargaining, you know, for trade.
Yeah, sure.
You know, they would, here, I'll give you this bottle of whiskey for some of that hay or, you know, something like that.
Barrel of molasses.
And actually, you know,
during
COVID, John and I kind of like, you know, thought, well, if the apocalypse happens, we're just going to like get some whiskey in the house and we'll start trading whiskey for food, you know.
Goods and services.
Goods and services. Yeah. Thankfully, that didn't happen. And we drank the whiskey that we collected. Mm-hmm. But then in the late 1700s, whiskey moved west and the frontier settlers in western Pennsylvania and Kentucky started large-scale whiskey production. And corn becomes the dominant grain in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
In the late 1700s, you're going to edit that part out, right?
Sure.
In the late 1700s.
As far as you know.
There was the Whiskey Rebellion. And that was when Alexander Hamilton, who was a Treasury Secretary, introduced a federal whiskey tax.
Oh, no.
And the frontier farmers revolted and got out their pitchforks and, you know, whatever else people do. Torches, pitchforks, all that sort of thing.
Their instruments.
Chased Frankenstein's monster around.
Right.
And, you know, that sort of thing. And then George Washington had to send the militia forces to suppress the uprising.
Oh, my goodness.
That must have been amazing. Mm-hmm. Then in the early 1800s was the birth of bourbon. The BB. Mm-hmm. The birth of bourbon. So that was, you know, that's all in Kentucky. They used charred oak barrels, which we'll talk about char later. And charred oak barrels became the standard. And that's when Elijah Craig came about, And of course, bourbon now has the requirement 51% corn. New charred oak barrels. And then the mid-1800s was the rise of rye whiskey. In the 1820s and 1870s was the industrialization of whiskey.
Ooh.
I wonder if they used child workers in the whiskey distilleries.
Yeah, most likely.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, and then that's where there's the whole sour mash process that was developed in 1866. Jack Daniel's was founded.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, late 1800s, the golden age of American whiskey. What made it the American with golden age? It became one of America's largest industries.
Oh.
And saloons flourished across the country.
Well, yes, this is certainly true.
And bourbon and rye brands spread nationally.
Wow.
1933, Prohibition.
Wah-wah. Yeah.
Alcohol production and sales become illegal nationwide. But did we let that stop us? No. Illegal moonshine and bootlegging became very popular. Mm-hmm. And organized crime expands through alcohol smuggling.
Yeah.
And 1933 was the repeal of Prohibition. And the 21st Amendment ends Prohibition. Distilleries begin rebuilding the industry. Many historic whiskey traditions were lost forever during that.
Period.
And 1940s to the 60s was post-war whiskey boom. American whiskey become, you know, because we're at war all the time, so you know, got to drink. Mm-hmm. American whiskey becomes highly popular after World War II. And bourbon becomes associated with American culture and masculinity.
Oh,
that damn bourbon. Major distilleries expand their production. 1970s to the 80s, whiskey declines.
Oh, no.
Vodka and lighter spirits surge in popularity because of those damn lightweights in the 70s and 80s. Mm-hmm. Bourbon sales fall sharply. Distilleries shut down. And older dusty bourbons from this era later become collectible. Dusty bourbons. 1990s and 2000s, bourbon renaissance. I thought I said resistance. Renaissance. It's renaissance. Yeah. Craft cocktails revive interest in rye and bourbon. Whiskey tourism expands in Kentucky and Tennessee.
It's a big deal there.
It is a big deal there. Yeah. Premium and small batch bourbon categories explode. Craft distilleries began opening across the United States. So the key producers gaining global recognition are Buffalo Trace, Maker's Mark, Wild Turkey, and Woodford Reserve. 2010s to now. Modern American whiskey explosion. Hopefully not literally, because that would be bad. Craft distilling spreads nationwide. Rye whiskey experiences a major revival. Experimental finishing and grain recipes become common, as we have talked about in some of our other episodes. And American whiskey gains strong international demand, but probably not so much right now. 2025, American single malt officially recognized. American single malt whiskey becomes an officially recognized whiskey category in the United States.
Cool.
And that's when we have distilleries like Westland Distillery, Balcones, Stranahan's are the top three at that point. All right.
Excellent.
That is the history.
In a nutshell.
In a nutshell, sort of. It was a really large nutshell, but sorry about that. I really wasn't a big nut to crack. I wasn't intending to read all of that, but it was interesting.
Yeah. It was.
So, John, did you want to say what our three whiskeys are today?
Well, yes, I do. Let's see. We have Swift Single Malt Texas Whiskey. We have Solar Spirits American Single Malt Whiskey. And we have Rocky Mountain Stranahan's Original Single Malt Whiskey.
And it says underneath there, Colorado Single Malt Whiskey, just in case.
That's the Stranahan.
Yes, just in case you didn't get it from the other part.
Yeah, so we've got three states represented
here. Yes, we do. That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So the first one is Swift Single Malt Texas Whiskey, which is, I drew the whatever straw to do this one. The Swift Distillery, it's a craft distillery in, you guess where?
Texas.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Ding, ding, ding. It says it on there. It's part of its name.
Driftwood, Texas. To be specific.
All right. On here it says the Texas Hill Country. And it's inspired by traditional Scotch whiskey making methods. Their flagship product line is Swift Single Malt, which is what we have today, which uses 100% Scottish two-row malted barley and is double distilled in copper pot stills. Now, what is two-row
barley?
Barley.
I don't know.
Let me tell you. I was busy this afternoon.
You were.
I was tired and cranky, but I was busy.
Right.
So there's, I guess, two types of barley. There's two row and six row. Two row has, you guessed it, two neat rows of kernels.
Okay.
And six row barley has six rows.
Oh.
Two row barley has larger kernels, more starch, lower protein, and a softer, sweeter flavor. Where the six row, I didn't write that. Oh, six row is more common in brewing.
Yeah, for beer.
For beer, because it's maltier, I guess. So two row is highly favored for Scotch whiskey, single malt whiskey, and craft brewing too. Mm-hmm. But the six row, I think, is...
they're both.
And then you might ask, why malt the barley?
Why
malt the barley?
Malting means the barley is soaked in water, allowed to begin sprouting, and dried or kilned before full germination. This process activates enzymes that convert starches into fermentable sugars during mashing. Without malting, the yeast would have a much harder time turning the grain starch into alcohol.
And God knows that yeast works hard enough as it is.
That's right. It's a hard-working beast.
All those hard-working little critters in there.
We need to ease their burden as much as possible.
I know. I think so.
And also two-row malted barley often contributes to the biscuit or cereal notes, honey sweetness, nutty flavors, creamy texture, and fruity character.
Good Lord. Yes. It's a lot of work.
Because it produces a cleaner spirit, has a good extract yield, creates elegant malt flavors, and works especially well in pot still distillation.
Okay.
All right. So.
It is lovely.
Swift single malt.
It is a light gold in color.
Mm-hmm.
Really very pretty, almost like a white wine.
Yeah.
Kind of an alcoholic smell to me.
It's 100% malted barley, double pot distilled, non-chill filtered, aged first in bourbon barrels.
Mm-hmm.
And then additional finishing is specialty wine casks, such as this. I forgot how you say that.
Sauternes
barrels. I was afraid it had some weird French thing going on, so I just figured I wouldn't even try.
Oh, it is. Aged in bourbon and French sauterne.
I just said that.
I know. Well, but it has it on the label, too. Well, it says sometimes, so I didn't know if this particular one was.
Yeah.
Well, they probably mean that they're general.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
I'm trying to place the aroma. It's almost a...
I'm getting a little white wine aroma.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh,
definitely.
That's why, because it is fairly light, you don't get the same, you know, oak and caramel that you get in a lot of American whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and this is 44% ABV, in case I hadn't already said that. I don't think I did.
Mm-mm.
I'm not sure I'm caring for the aroma that much, but I guess because it's whiskey and I'm not expecting it to smell like that.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, you will taste citrus and orange peel,
mm-hmm.
honey and lemon curd,
mm-hmm.
vanilla and buttery caramel.
That I'm not getting so much caramel.
Baking spices like clove and cinnamon and malted barley sweetness.
Yeah, it is. you take that first sip and it's kind of sharp. There's a bit of alcohol then. But then if you take a larger sip and let it really sort of swish around in your mouth, it's very different, and there is a real sweetness and fruitiness to it that I didn't get in the very first, or in the aroma, frankly.
I am not caring for it.
Yeah?
Yeah. Sorry, Swift. I love your label.
It's a little fox.
It's a little fox on the label. It's great, but I do not care for the flavor. I mean, I don't know why I don't. I guess it just doesn't taste like whiskey to me, really. It's got
some dry white wine characteristic to it that, and when they talk about the spices and stuff like cloves and things, I think I'm getting that too. And it's not something I seek.
Maybe next time you need white wine for a recipe, we'll just throw in some of that.
Yeah.
Well, could be.
I don't. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Swift.
I was hoping. I had high hopes, especially because of that cute fox.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are, I mean, and what's ironic is that I really like white wine. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't drink red wine.
Mm-hmm.
But so luckily I like white wine, but this, I'm not a fan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so by the third sip, it's growing on me now.
Okay, so I mean, really, take enough and let it just kind of sit in your mouth for a while.
Initially, it just put me off a little bit because it was different, but gradually coming around.
Now it just tastes like white wine and Judy spit.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, we'll leave that behind us for now. I like it better than I thought from the aroma.
Yeah.
Judy likes it less.
Yeah, that. But you're more of a wine drinker than I am. I mean, I do like white wine, but I don't typically drink wine. If there is whiskey available, that's what I will drink. I'm disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to like you. I'm sorry.
Well, these things happen.
But I will save your label.
Well, and again, you could use this for mixing. Mm-hmm. It would go really well in a lot of cocktails that don't want a real heavy, oaky, or charred taste. It might even, if you like it, go for a very nice summer drink. You know, this on some ice would be lovely.
This is true. Yeah, I'll have to try that when it gets hotter out.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not quite there yet.
No.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I like it.
Okay.
All right.
Next, we have Solar Spirits, American single malt whiskey. They are a craft distillery from Richland, Washington, which is down on the Columbia River. And they're notable for producing spirits using renewable energy, hence the solar in the title, and sustainable practices. And they take great pride in being a farm-to-bottle production, meaning that they use all local grains that are grown in the area. So
that's Washington for you.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going down. So it's much darker than the Swift. It is a nice amber color. And the nose, you should be getting some caramel, vanilla, baking spices, toasted grain, oak, slight honey. Oh, it smells good.
Oh, this is nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nice mellow smell. Like honey and caramel. Yeah. Which is what I associate more with bourbon than single malt. But
mm-hmm. I think I have the feeling a lot of them, quite a few mm-hmm. American whiskeys probably lean towards the bourbon arena with the sweetness and things mm-hmm, like that mm-hmm. because that's so American.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there's some real nice aromas in there. I kind of mm-hmm. like that.
I can smell the sweetness.
Yeah. This really nice. Has an age statement. It's aged 2 years, which isn't a long time. On the other hand, I think the distillery has only been in existence since 2018. So, you know, they're still working on it. And according to the bottle, this is the Barrel Select Oak Monster. So we will try and keep it
nice
contained in the glasses.
Yeah.
But
I didn't hear any roaring when you opened it.
Yeah. No. So yeah, some tasters describe a warm dessert-like aroma, and I am getting that with like bread pudding or caramelized sugar. Now I'm going to taste it.
Yeah, it's really nice. Yeah, I think the similarity between American single malts and bourbon is probably because most of them are aged in bourbon barrels. So mm-hmm. the imparts numbers that we're getting, and the color for that matter. The first one was extremely light colored.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that was not aged in bourbon barrels.
Or at least not used bourbon barrels.
Yeah.
It was American unused
oak.
Yeah. And aged first in bourbon barrels, though.
Oh, was it? Oh, okay.
Mm.
And then it's in the white. It doesn't say.
Yeah, it did say bourbon and then French.
Oh, okay, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I don't know that it was new. I think it might be the next one that's new.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so light, it get a lot of the color from charred bourbon barrels.
Yeah, they must not have been charred bourbon barrels.
Most of them. Okay, well, anyway, this one's really nice. It's got sweetness and honey and some vanilla flavors.
Well, either there's something wrong with my taste buds today, or the first one set my taste buds off because I'm kind of ambivalent about this one. Mm-hmm.
It is not, give me a whole bunch of bottles of scotch, and I don't know that I would pick this one out, but it does have some sweetness and some roundness of tone, I guess some fullness there that I'm kind of enjoying. I wouldn't refuse it.
I'm going to give you a whole bunch of bottles of scotch and one American whiskey, and you're going to
If you gave me a whole bunch of American whiskeys, I would put this one kind of in the middle, I guess, for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I definitely liked it better than the mm-hmm. first one, than mm-hmm. the Swift. But yeah, maybe there's something wrong with my taste buds today.
The notes say, compared with many Scotch single malts, Solar Spirits appears less smoky and more approachable for bourbon drinkers. So they may kind of softer spice, sweeter oak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're kind of aiming at the bourbon drinkers, perhaps, in how they're structuring it. But
sure.
Yeah, I wouldn't kick it out of bed, so to speak. You know, it's. I actually don't drink in bed. I think that would be rude and I would spill. So
she would spill.
Yeah.
That would be a waste.
Pretty sure.
Yeah. Okay. Finish. Medium length finish. Dry oak. Lingering warmth. Yeah. Yeah, it's not aggressive, or, you know, there's no real burn to it. You know, it's
That's very true. It's easy. It's an easy drinking.
Yes, you could go through quite a lot of this, you know, depending on your.
But we don't recommend it.
No. Well, okay, sometimes.
Not all at once.
Not all at once, no. That would be rude.
That's what I meant. Ooh, there was a pretty bird that just flew out across your backyard.
Oh, it could be.
Well, I know because I saw it.
Yes, it is early summer here, which means today it is in the 70s and tomorrow it will be in the 50s and raining.
Yes, so, that's right. Typical early
Happy summer.
Typical early summer in Washington, especially Western Washington.
Yes. Yeah, Richland is in eastern Washington, which is why they grow a lot of grain and other sun-related crops.
Yeah.
Okay, so John, what's coming next? Mm. Now that he has a mouthful of scotch, right. I ask him, so John.
Yeah, I really like that. I really like that one. That was the Solar Spirits.
Oh, and I did read a couple of the little travel sites, you know, TripAdvisor and that kind of stuff. And they said it is a really fun distillery to visit. They do have small plates of food available. Okay. It's a nice bar. You can go and taste and do fun stuff.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Okay, so third on the list is Stranahan's Original Single Malt Whiskey. That's 47% alcohol by volume. It says Stranahan's was one of the pioneers of American single malt whiskey movement in the United States. It was founded in Denver, Colorado in 2004 by Jess Graber and George Stranahan, and it became Colorado's first legal whiskey distillery since Prohibition.
Cool.
Their flagship expression, Original, which...
That's what we have.
Is that what this is?
Yeah.
It is. So it is. It's made from 100% malted barley, Rocky Mountain water, yeast, of course, and new charred American oak barrels.
Oh, okay.
John.
What?
What does it mean that they char it?
What does it mean that they char it?
Yeah. Well,
that means they basically take the barrel and they light the inside of it on fire.
Sweet.
And, you know, it
sounds it like takes, a real man thing to
it,
do.
It chars the oak. It sounds like fun to me. I'd be out there in my backyard, you know, barrel on fire. Yeah. Fire shoot.
Get you a torch thing. What do they call it? Flamethrower.
Flamethrower.
No, yeah. Or, you know, the what do they call those?
A torch?
No, you know, the thing that you light, like not a Bunsen burner, but something that you would light in the kitchen.
It's called a torch.
That's not called a torch. It's called a, well, anyway. All right. Never mind.
That's okay.
Okay. You'll think of it later when we're done.
I know they have like strikers that are the.
Yeah.
The metal bits with flint and.
There's something between, you know, torch and flamethrower that is what I'm trying to get at, and I can't think of it. And it's attached to a tank. And
oh, like, yeah, the propane.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. I know. Yeah. I've got one. I know.
Drinking scotch with senior citizens. Always a risk. Yeah.
I can catch something on fire with it, but I don't know.
I am not quite a senior citizen yet, so
don't.
Okay.
Well, I can't retire, therefore I am not a senior
citizen. Judy's creeping up on it, but yeah.
I'm creeping. Yeah. Trying to creep as I'm doing the sloth crawl to senior citizenship.
Mm-hmm. All right. Unlike most Scotch single malts, which are usually aged in used barrels, Stranahan's ages its whiskey in new American oak, giving it a richer vanilla, caramel, and spice notes, closer to bourbon, while still retaining a malt forward profile. So, Judy, you asked, what is a char?
I did.
And I will now answer that, even though, you know, you basically sort of kind of did. Little bit.
Yeah.
But it's basically they burn the inside of the barrel with fire, which creates a layer of charcoal on the inside of the barrel. It opens up the wood pores and helps filter the spirit, and it caramelizes the wood sugars. So, you know, I think it makes that more accessible to the whiskey as the whiskey is.
Is laying around for several years.
Sitting against.
Soaking, you know, it up.
Soaking into the wood, and some of the flavor from the wood goes into the whiskey. And the char level affects the flavor intensity. So there's different levels of char. Number one being the lightest char, and number four being a very heavy char, which is called alligator char because the wood cracks like alligator skin. So
I think that sounds exciting.
And this one is a number three.
And this is a number three. Yeah, that's right. That's what the... The Stranahan's Original is a number three char that they use. And that tends to give it a strong vanilla flavor, caramel, brown sugar flavors, toasted oak, some smoky notes, and good balance between wood sweetness and spirit character. Wow. Not sure what that is.
I guess it means that spirit has character.
Yeah, you know, like,
oh, well, I don't know.
Just go on by that.
We'll just go. I don't have the brain power to think about that.
Yeah. I get it. So anyway, it's commonly used in bourbon production because it creates rich oak extraction without overwhelming the whiskey. And that's still talking about the number three char. For a whiskey like Stranahan's, using oak number three char helps create the bourbon-like sweetness while still keeping the malted barley character of a single malt. It's 47% ABV. It's distilled and bottled in Denver, Colorado. It's non-chill filtered and small batch production. Tasting notes, according to the distillery, you would smell caramel, butterscotch, vanilla, maple syrup, and leather.
Mm. Whoa, a little bit of kink there, yeah.
I think Marlis has mostly finished hers already.
I know. I'm trying to decide what the difference is between the last two, between Solar Spirits and Stranahan's. And I actually think I might like Solar Spirits a little better. It seems to be a little more kind of roundy, full,
you like
mellow taste,
you like
I guess.
The Solar better, you said?
Yeah. I don't dislike the Stranahan's. I like that too.
What's funny is because this is the only one I like.
I was going to say.
We are just, yeah.
We're all over the map.
I know today, and that's fine.
The Solar appeals to me in the same way that Bushmill's Irish whiskey appeals. The Solar is a little lighter, kind of not as strong in the spice department, I guess. It's a little plainer, but to me, it's more open and approachable. Mm-hmm. And the Stranahan's reminds me of Monkey Shoulder.
Oh, no wonder I like it better.
It's got more spice. It's got a very similar flavor to me.
Yeah,
to my taste buds.
I really like the Stranahan's.
I like it too.
The other two, I already poured my Solar into John's glass.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. here, Marlis, you can have this.
Taste some more.
Okay, thank you.
No, that.
If you wanted to try that Solar.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Okay. I do not.
That's fine.
But yeah, I mean, you know, that's what I got from those two.
Okay, cool.
These are very similar to whiskeys that we drink at home.
Yeah. The one thing that keeps kind of yanking my chain a little bit is that American whiskey distillers, and I understand why they do it, are kind of building their whiskeys against a bourbon. You know, mm-hmm. This is not like bourbon, but it's sort of like bourbon. You know, that if you like bourbon, you'll kind of sneak in here and like this too. And it's like, what the fuck? Sorry. Okay. That just came out. I didn't mean to say that. But you don't find people in Canada saying, yeah, we got Canada whiskey. No, we're not going to make it like bourbon. You know, you got people in Scotland or Japan or whatever. And they're like, no, we're not going to make it like bourbon. We're going to make whatever we make, you know? So yeah. I don't necessarily fault their efforts because I like a lot of American whiskeys, bourbons as well as other things. Yeah. But and I do understand, because I am upright and adult, that there are a lot of bourbon drinkers in America that they are trying to attract. So, okay, I will withdraw my objection, but it still yanks my chain a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Because I'm a Scotch girl to start. So it's like, how dare you impugn my liquor by saying it has to be like bourbon. Yeah.
What's interesting is the one that's made with, you know, Scottish barley is the one I don't like the most.
I know.
They went way over here.
Yeah. And, it's very different from most Scotches. So I think.
I want to say that when I was looking at the Stranahan.
See, and that just does not remind me of Monkey Shoulder, but I'm not a big. I only drink Monkey Shoulder at your house. Not that I don't like it. I just,
The rare restaurant that has it. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. And around here, it's hard to find a restaurant that has.
You should tell them our restaurant Monkey Shoulder story.
Oh, God. One time we went to this pizza place, which is no longer. And
I asked for Monkey Shoulder.
And she saw it on the shelf.
I saw it on the shelf. I could see it.
Yeah.
And so the bartender lady is like, sure. And she goes over. Uh-huh. And we were sitting in a booth. We weren't at the bar. And she pours our drinks and she brings them over. And we're sitting there talking. And I took a sip of my whiskey and I about spit it all over Marlis.
Uh-huh. Which would be rude, but yeah.
Because it tasted like banana.
Mm-hmm. And sweet. It was so sweet.
It was extremely sweet.
So she's
sweet.
Like, have I just lost my mind?
I know. Am I having a stroke? what is going on?
So she hands it to me. She said, here, taste this. I don't think it's Monkey Shoulder. And I'm like, oh my God, no, it's not.
And I tell the bartender lady, and she's like, oh. And then it turns out that it was like Howler or something.
It had a monkey on the label.
And that's she remembered from our booth banana to the whiskey. Bar.
So it was like basically a banana liqueur. And we're like, no, this is not Monkey Shoulder in any way, shape, or form.
It was horrible. It was truly, truly horrible. There was no moment in my life that I would ask for a banana flavored pretty much anything, and I got banana whiskey, and it was quite shocking.
You guys don't know, Judy seems outspoken here, but in public, she's really very polite. And so she's like, well, I just don't, Marlis, would you take this? I just don't think, and I'm like, oh my God, no.
My mama raised me right.
She did.
And I was just like, and then I was very nice and I said, well, this is not Monkey Shoulder.
No,
it tastes like banana. And and she's like, yeah. it's not Monkey Shoulder. And then she goes, oh, look, it's like Howler Monkey. And it's got a monkey on the label.
Yeah,
take it back.
There are times I went to, when I first moved out to the Pacific Northwest, it was 1999, and I went to one of the local restaurants, which was lovely, and I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed the food. But I asked the girl who was waiting on me, I said, I'd like a Dewar's. And she said, we had a discussion about what's that? And I said, well, it's a Scotch whiskey. Okay. So she went away, and she brought me back something. We don't have Dewar's, but we have this. And it was a bourbon. And I'm like, okay, I'll drink this. This is fine. Mm-hmm. You do try to be polite. And not everyone knows or wants to know
everything. Even when they work in a bar.
No.
They have no idea.
She was a waitress. She was more involved with the food thing.
But she was in the bar.
Yeah.
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 And do you think she could have gone to the bartender?
I know.
Do we have doors? And they would have said no. And she was like, okay.
Yeah. So it's always...
And she was probably barely old enough to work in
there. Oh, yeah. I'm sure she was like 19,
No, she has to be older than that to be serving people liquor in the bar.
I don't think so.
You have to be 21 to be in a bar.
But it's not a bar. It's a restaurant that serves liquor, different.
But you were in the bar of the restaurant.
No, it was just a restaurant.
Oh, you were just in a restaurant.
I thought
you were talking about at the Ram or something.
No, it was Urban Onion.
My apologies.
Which no longer exists.
Yeah, but, she could be 19 and doing that. But if she was working in the bar, I'm pretty sure she would have to be over the age of
It was
drinking.
Just one of the many...
But we digress.
We always digress.
It was one of those puzzling moments in Washington drinking that I got when I first got out here. The other one was when I went into a tavern and asked for a Dewar's, and they said, oh, we don't sell hard liquor here. We're a tavern, which sounded to me like, oh, we don't sell liquor here. We're a place that sells liquor. And I'm like, what the? Again.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to complete the phrase that time. But taverns can only sell beer or wine. There are strict limits on the type of an environment or the type of enterprise and what you can do there. And I'm like, left over from Prohibition.
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, I'm so confused.
That must be why there's a, what I think used to be a tavern on the corner of, was it Pacific and Boulevard?
Mm-hmm.
That it's like a neighborhood tavern.
Yeah.
Or was a tavern. But
it's kind of a pub.
It's got a little pubby look. It's like, it looks like it used to be a house or something. Mm-hmm. And,
a little trailer house.
Oh, is that the beer thing? Or, no.
No, that's Northwest. No, I'm talking about an actual.
Oh, okay.
What is now, I guess, a bar, because one day I was sitting at the light to turn onto Boulevard, and it had this huge banner on the side. Now serving hard alcohol, and I'm like, okay, thanks for telling me.
Yeah,
it was like this huge sign. So they are no longer a tavern.
Yeah, no,
they are a bar.
Yeah,
I don't even know the name of it.
I don't either.
I have absolutely no idea. It's probably the Boulevard Tavern or something like that.
And yeah.
Now it might be the Boulevard Bar. I don't know. Yeah. Boulevard Drinking Establishment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or something like that. Did you finish with
Oh, yeah, we have to.
I'm sorry. Marlis interrupted you.
I got through the notes and the aroma, but that was it. So anyway... On the palate, it says cinnamon butter, vanilla, chocolate, warm caramel, spiced pear, brown sugar, tobacco, oak. That's the palate. And then the finish is fruity notes, oak, leather, and tobacco.
I really, really like it. So if you're a straight-up whiskey drinker, try Stranahan's original. And I want to say Stranahan's, I think, I might have to look it up, but I think it was the one sherry cask. Sorry, again.
Took a minute there.
Maybe I am a senior citizen now, because I had a little trouble with that. Right. Yeah. So sherry yeah, cask, sherry. Yeah. I think they have a sherry cask finish.
That would be good. That would be lovely. Well, and try the solar spirits. I liked it. I thought it was the most mellow of the three, the most rounded and kind of luscious, but. You know, that's a personal thing. And try the Swifts, especially if you like cocktails and need a kind of light flavored whiskey to go in a cocktail. That would be a thing. When I was in Texas recently visiting friends, and we went to a place called Blacklands Whiskey Distillery and did a tasting. And if you can talk among yourselves for a minute, I'll bring you a little sample of that. But what I bought from that.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Okay. Talk.
All right, talk.
You're right.
We're talking.
I know.
We've been together for like 3 days.
I know.
We've been together for 42 years. What are you talking about?
Oh, that's true.
So, you know, we're
but I meant,
basically talked out.
No, yeah, we kidding. Have nothing to talk about. I'm just saying, okay. Yeah, but, Stranahan's has a sherry cask.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I'd be interested in trying that one.
Yeah.
You said that you kind of got what I was saying as soon as I said this. This reminded me of Monkey Shoulder.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm like, oh, no wonder. Well, actually, it's more it's like, got, oh, no wonder I like it so much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's got, you know, some spice drinking? Notes to it. And,
this is,
wow, this is
Texas
dark.
Pecan brown sugar bourbon.
Oh, my God.
This is a dessert.
This is almost like stout.
Yeah, it is. Beer. It is dark.
Dark.
Yeah. It was a distillery in Fort Worth that we went to after Museum Day. Mm-hmm. And it is lovely.
Woo.
Mm-hmm.
So, I can taste the pecan.
Tell me again what this is called.
Texas Pecan Brown Sugar Bourbon.
Okay.
And pecan's one of my favorite things.
Oh, I know. I knew you would like it. I knew you would like it.
Mm.
Oh. Yeah. So they had some other, you know, we had like four... You could choose four whiskeys for your flight, and we did. And they were all not bad. I kind of liked it. Blackland is the brand. So if you see some, try it. But this brown sugar was like,
yeah,
oh, so good. Give me that. I want a bottle of
that. Yeah, talk about a really tasty topping for your ice cream or.
Mm-hmm. You know, well, that is actually isn't bad drinking either. Can,
I know. Just
I've had other brown sugar whiskeys that it was just too much. I make you like you're almost pucker up, not because it was tart, but just because it was so sweet. Mm-hmm. But this is actually drinkable.
Oh, it is lovely. for a dessert.
Yeah.
You
know, I mean, you wouldn't want to drink a lot of it.
No, but you know, think about, you know, a nice heavy meal of like burgers or barbecue or sausages or something.
This is your, and then digestive?
Just, have that as your, it's lovely. Yeah.
We're drinking it before we eat, but that's all right.
I know, because we do that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I need to go.
Okay.
All right. Well, you know, thanks for joining us and listening in. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And this was episode 79, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
And I hope you have a great time and enjoy possibly some of these or other American whiskeys.
And drop us, you can go to our website and comment on any of our episodes. And I try to check it more often.
Tell us we're full of whatever.
What?
Tell us we're full of whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can tell us we're full of whatever.
Yeah.
Or you could be nice and you can just drop us a line. And I'm doing my best to check the website regularly to make sure I catch comments, because in the past we've let them kind of like just sit there and not say anything. So,
well, we do, you know, lead like normal lives too. So we're doing work and other things.
I don't know that my life is normal, but yes.
Thank you.
But I now know how to get into the website and can check it.
Oh, very good.
Because I'm kind of anal about things like that.
Well, good.
And John is not.
That's true.
Drop us a line there or send us an email at funwithscotch@gmail.com. Is that correct?
Yes.
And tell us what you think. I mean, you know, if you have something really nasty to say, you can just keep it to yourself. But if you want, if you just have constructive criticism, I'll take that. So, drop us a line.
All right.
And have a good one.